For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay from the Power Mall. I'm here to talk with you today about one of our most powerful products that does not get enough recognition. That product is Blockbuster All Clear by Good Health Naturally. Blockbuster is a blend of proteolytic enzymes and antioxidants, which combine serrapeptase and natokinase with digestive enzymes, antioxidants, pine bark extract, oh, and much more. The unique combination of these ingredients have been carefully selected to provide powerful support for a range of health conditions, with particular benefit to heart and cardiovascular. Kidney health is another area that benefits from targeted enzyme support, as there is a close link between cardiovascular system and kidney function. If you'd like to learn more about this powerful product, give me a call today, 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give. For questions or comments about today's broadcast, please feel free to email us at support@thepowerhour.com. Or call 877-817-9829 and select option number 2. We'd love your show feedback and guest recommendations, so please feel free to reach out and be a part of the Power Hour team.
The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
You are now listening to a partial recording from the Joyce Riley Archive Vault. To hear this show in its entirety, please visit thepowerhour.com.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. There is one person who knows 9/11 better and more intensely than anyone else, and his passion for that has been so true and so strong, and we are so glad to have Architects and Engineers founder Richard Gage joining us today. You all know him. He's been on the program many, many times, and thank goodness we have Richard out there. Thank you so much, Richard, for joining us on the Power Hour today.
Thank you, Joyce. It's an honor to be here on September 11th, 2014.
No kidding. A day that may go down in infamy. I don't know. But certainly we are glad that you are here. I know that you have a gazillion different places you could be today or talking to different people, but so grateful to have you here today. First of all, let me ask you this. Compared to 13 years ago, how far have we come, and what do you think the understanding of the real story of 9/11 is? Have we made some progress?
I think so, Joy. We have been on C-SPAN for 40 minutes in an interview on their program, a Washington Journal. This is an unprecedented foray into at least quasi-mainstream media.
I got to video that. That is amazing. Thank you for telling us that.
Oh, you bet. I encourage everybody to Google Architects Gage and C-SPAN. You'll be able to see that 40-minute interview, which I think is our best we've been censored in the mainstream media, and we have 2,200 architects and engineers now demanding a real investigation of what happened.
Whoa.
We have spoken across the country in 82 American cities, 30 foreign countries, to groups of 100 to 300, and the message is, one of them is, did you know a third tower fell on 9/11? And we are making strides with the exposure of World Trade Center Building 7 because most people don't know anything about it. In fact, architects and engineers across the country are almost completely unaware of this third worst structural failure in modern history. So we have a billboard up in Times Square once again this year, 89 feet wide, wrap around the corner of 42nd and 8th Avenue, and we are delighted to be able to show New Yorkers World Trade Center 7 coming down at free fall acceleration straight down uniformly into its own footprint, and that happened on the afternoon of 9/11 without being hit by an airplane. So they will know that it was brought down by explosive controlled demolition, which, of course, is our message. The evidence for the explosive controlled demolition, in fact, of all three World Trade Center high-rises. So I think we're getting the message out there. It's still, we're in the trenches. It's slow, hard, tedious work like yours.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think, though, you're making some huge, I think that the successes that you all are having and turning people's minds around, we don't even know how strong that is, but more and more people are now saying, yeah, you know, they're wanting to act like they never bought into the real story, right? Or the official story, and they're all coming along with, yeah, I never really believed in that, though you know that they did. But Megyn Kelly last night on Fox, I know you're making an impact because over and over again, you know who Megyn Kelly is, cuteness on Fox News?
I don't, but I try not to watch those people.
That's okay. Well, I appreciate that. But she has this huge talk show at 8 p.m. Central Time on Fox News and has garnered, you know, much of the attention at that hour. And so last night, I found it strange. She kept saying, well, we all know that Building 7 came down because of debris. I mean, she must have said that three or four times during her program. Well, she's right there in New York City, right where this is probably happening. And she said, well, I just want to repeat, we all know Building 7 also was lost because of debris hitting it.
Unbelievable. I mean, the official story tells us that is not true. NIST, mm-hmm. the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Yes.
What they say is it came down by normal office fires, which, of course, is not true either. These fires were few and scattered and small and were out over an hour before they claimed that they started the initiation of the collapse of this building.
Right. But anyway, I think you have made a huge dent in things when you've got Megyn Kelly, the biggest talk show after O'Reilly, saying over and over again, I mean, even in a place where it didn't make any sense, yeah, we know Building 7 came down by debris. So I just think that is huge. And I think they're trying to get people's minds turned away from what you're going to be doing today. You have 2,200 engineers and architects that are now saying, no way, couldn't have happened that way. There are other groups out there. There are medical people for 9/11, the truth of 9/11. You've got military people. What other groups are out there that you know of that, you know, are expanding that 2,200 group?
Well, we have lawyers for 9/11 truth, veterans for 9/11 truth. The Veterans for Peace, in fact, has issued a resolution calling for a new investigation.
Wow.
We have scholars, firefighters for 9/11 truth, 200 firefighters from around the country demanding a real investigation.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the world, the New York premiere of a new movie called The Anatomy of a Great Deception. And I'll be there introducing the film today in New York at Theater 80 at 2 p.m. We're very excited to show David Hooper's new film. He made this film because his wife and family thought he was going nuts as he took his foray personally into the journey of the 9/11 World Trade Center evidence, as we've highlighted it on our DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. But this film, this new film, walks people by the hand through the evidence and leads them to help them conclude their own personal journey through the evidence. So it's very exciting. We think it'll be an incredible tool to help people convince others that they're not insane, and B, that there is some real questions that need investigating at the World Trade Center. So that new movie is called Anatomy of a Great Deception. People can Google it and screen it also at their own homes.
Where do you think if somebody comes up to you that doesn't know anything about this, and I know that we know that there's a huge cabal behind this, but if somebody comes up to you and says, okay, Mr. Smart Engineer or Architect, because you say that 9/11 didn't happen the way it did, who did 9/11? How do you respond to that question?
Well, we want to know who did 9/11 also, because obviously Al-Qaeda didn't have access to plant these explosives in three of the most highly secure buildings, these three towers, outside the Pentagon. So we take some clues from the evidence itself. For instance, the fact that very high-tech nanothermite incendiaries, residue of unignited super thermite, is found in all the World Trade Center dust samples by an independent team of international scientists, and documented in a 24-page peer-reviewed paper. Who makes that stuff? Who had the ability to bring it into the towers under the nose? I mean, tons of it, tons.
Mm-hmm.
Under the nose of the security company, Securicom, Stratistech. So an investigation of the security company would help. An investigation of Ace Elevator would help quite a bit. Who had the contract to modernize the elevator hoistways and cabs the 9 months prior to 9/11, which could have provided an undercover operation to access the core columns and beams in the building, which, of course, are immediately adjacent to those elevators. Who had the access to the authority to stand down the U.S. Air Force and allow these hijackers unmolested into these internal targets to the U.S.? Who had the ability to have Air Force drills that sent our fighters in every direction away from protecting the Central Eastern Corridor here, and who had access to put fake radar on the air traffic controllers' screens, confusing them during a drill which only happened on the morning of 9/11.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, Richard. Now, you are like an extraordinary architect. You're not just like the beginning guy or a guy who didn't have enough work and so he decided to go do this on the side. You know, you've done a lot of things in the area of construction before, and you're one of the most respected, and I want to make sure people understand that. But he just also happens to be working with AE911truth.org. That's AE911truth.org. Because of your passion for the truth and because you want it out. If I could ask you, if you had a choice of five people you could depose on 9/11 issue, solely on the 9/11 issue, who would you depose?
Well, I would bring the individuals responsible for that those pieces of evidence that we just highlighted. I would also bring in those who manufacture nanothermite. I would bring in those in the media who have censored this story. I would bring in those, the ownership of the World Trade Center building. Larry Silverstein would be a great start, who made out with $5.6 billion after investing only $125 million of his own money, having acquired the towers, the World Trade Center complex, just 6 weeks prior to 9/11, mm-hmm. in a shady deal.
JD just mentioned that Jeb Bush is...
Wasn't Jeb Bush in charge of the security company for the towers up until just about, a week before the event?
Yeah, he was on the board of directors of Securecom,
right.
Along with Marvin Bush, I think, and maybe even Wirt Walker the third. Yeah, there's a great start for an investigation as well.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, where do you see us now? How close are we to actually getting a real investigation to where people might go to prison for the rest of their natural lives for what has been done here?
Well, did you say where would we start? I missed that.
No, how far along the road are we to actually getting some kind of real investigation where they're going to have to address these issues and maybe people spend the rest of their natural lives in prison? Or do you think that'll ever happen?
Well, I hope it happens. We have given the DVD that we have, 9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak Out, the one that you have also. For your listeners, it has been given to every member of Congress when we had 1,000 petition signers, architects and engineers, and again last year when we reached 2,000. Not one of them has seriously stood up and called for a real investigation. In fact, not even the half dozen congresspersons who did stand up calling for the exposure, the release by Obama of the 28 redacted pages from the Bush administration's 9/11 commission hearings, which implicates the Saudis, which hopefully leads to the truth, the larger truth of what really happened
now,
on 9/11.
Other than Walter Jones, U.S. Congressman Walter Jones, who else is there on your side at least playing the role that they want to know the truth? Is there anyone else we could give credit to in either Congress or the Senate?
Well, we can throw some partial credit, and I don't know the other names who are helping Walter Jones, but Lee Hamilton and his co-chair of the 9/11 Commission have both said that they were set up to fail by the Bush administration. Their attorney for the 9/11 Commission, John Farmer, cited that at some point there was a decision not to tell the American people the truth. This is the attorney of
really?
The 9/11 Commission.
That's huge.
It's absolutely huge. It's in his book, and this book came out at least a couple of years ago. There are six of the hijackers who were interviewed by the London Guardian, the BBC, who did not die on 9/11, but that wasn't picked up by the media. They were interviewed. They say, hey, that's my picture. That's my birthday, but I'm not a terrorist. So this is more than just shoddy journalism on the part of the mainstream media. We're talking about an active, a cover-up, a criminal cover-up, which, of course, is engaged in by NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which gave us these fraudulent reports for the destruction of World Trade Center 7 and the Twin Towers. which we have exposed from top to bottom in our DVD, and this new DVD, the new film that we're premiering in New York, Anatomy of a Great Deception. So, I mean, there is lots of information. There's lots of progress, I think, toward a real investigation, but it's lots of little steps. It's awakening of the American people. It's getting people to become the media, as you did when you raised your eyebrows above the fray and created the Power Hour and helped so many of your listeners wake up. It is grassroots.
Yes, it is.
It's one person talking to another.
And I want to say that we're so... We're so appreciative of having you join us today, and I know we've only got 20 minutes with you because you are so busy. It is an honor that you've taken the time out to spend it with the Power Hour, and we wish you the very best. We want you all to support AE911.org, AE911.org. That is a great group.
Wait. That's AE911truth.org.
Truth.org. I know we've all got people in our family that believe that 9/11 happened the way they told me, and the Pentagon was hit by a plane that vaporized. All those kinds of things happen. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world, ladies and gentlemen, going to be another full hour of excellent information from our next guest, John Lear. We're going to talk to John Lear this hour. He's a retired airline captain. He's a former CIA pilot, as well as the son of, like I told you earlier, the famous inventor of the Lear jet. He is a former Lockheed L-1011 captain, highly regarded in aviation circles. And let me tell you a little bit about him. He's flown over 150 aircraft. He has earned every certificate granted by the FAA. He has held 18 world speed records. He's worked for 28 different aircraft corporations. Translation, he knows how to fly a plane. And during the late 1980s and early 1990s, he began coming forward with some absolutely startling revelations, which you're going to hear about here, concerning the subject of aerial phenomena and unidentified flying objects. But what he has to say about 9/11 is probably the most revolutionary. John Lear, thank you so much for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Oh, nice to be here.
Now, your background, I mean, you love flying. Obviously, you came from a family of flying, and flying was very important. Your passion for flying has taken you a lot of places, and you've done a lot of things. Any more qualification that you should that we should put on you as an expert to be able to say what you're about to say here today?
I think you pretty much covered it all there.
All right. Then let's talk about 9/11, your reaction at the time that 9/11 happened, because everybody's wanting to talk about where they were, what they did. But what was your initial visceral reaction when you started seeing all this chaos taking place on buildings in New York and building at the Pentagon and also Shanksville? What was your first reaction?
My first reaction is I wonder where they got their training, because it's really difficult to do what they were alleged to have done, and that is to take over an airplane, fly at 100 miles, line up with a building that's 208 feet wide, and then hit it dead center at the maximum speed of the airplane. Of course, the speed that we were told the airplane was going is not possible to do, probably about 60% of that speed. We were told it went 561 miles an hour, and the most it could have done is about 380 miles an hour.
Now, not being a pilot, I have no reference point for what you're saying, but this is significant to any pilot, and my question is, where are all the other pilots that would have had the same response that you did at that time on 9/11?
A lot of pilots tried to duplicate this feat in the simulator. We all have to take, all current pilots have to take a check every 6 months. And in these simulators, they can duplicate any city in the world, and they could duplicate world flying into the World Trade Center, and they all tried it, and none of them was able to do it on the first try. After the third or fourth try, they could line up, but not on the first try like the pilots were alleged to have done. In fact, the airplanes that people saw were holograms. They were not real airplanes, and the two airplanes in the World Trade Center were holograms. The one that allegedly flew into the Pentagon was a flyover. In other words, they flew an Boeing 757 just north of the Pentagon, and when it got just to the beam, the side of the wall of the Pentagon, put some explosives in that wall and set off the explosives just as the airplane was flying by. Then as the airplane flew by, it just pulled up and landed probably at either Andrews Air Force Base or someplace else, but nothing crashed into the Pentagon, and we know that for sure because April Gallup, who was a computer expert at the Pentagon, was sitting 40 feet from that where that explosion went off, and she had her six-month-old at the time, in his baby seat below her computer, and she picked him up after this explosion, and the ceiling started falling down. After it was all over, she picked him up, and she actually walked out that hole that was made by the explosion, and she said she didn't see any plane, she didn't see any helicopter, no drone, no nothing. She didn't smell any fuel, no diesel fuel, no Jet A, no nothing. She walked out onto the lawn and got triage, and Army intelligence came along and tried to get her to say that she saw the airplane come by her in the office. She said, no, I'm not going to say that because there was none there. And, of course, she's had trouble with Army intelligence ever since then.
Yes.
The fourth airplane supposedly landed in Shanksville. What happened there was that airplane was supposed to simulate running into building number 7. But whatever they had to simulate the hologram became inoperable.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being mean so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. ShopThePowerMall.com. That's ThePowerMall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Discover the benefits of vitamin B17 and its potential role in supporting overall health and well-being with our Power Hour partner, Richardson Nutritional Center. Their natural bitter apricot seeds and vitamin B17 capsules have high levels of B17, also known as amygdalin, which is a naturally occurring compound found in plant-based sources. At Richardson Nutritional Center store, they prioritize your health and satisfaction. Their Laetril vitamin B17 capsules are carefully manufactured under strict quality standards to ensure purity and potency. Buy Laetril B17 capsules or bitter apricot seeds today and embark on a natural journey towards wellness. To order, visit thepowerhour.com, click on the Partners tab, or call us at 877-817-9829. Miracle Skin Products. Helan is an external herbal remedy for wounds that will not heal. For example, can be used on bed sores, blisters, diaper rash, dry, cracked skin, and different various skin irritations. Helan is a perfect blend of natural organic herbals, botanical oils, and emollients that complement and help to restore the body's healing chemistry. Perfect for burns and after the removal of stitches. Suggested uses for the lamb cream are for temporary relief of arthritis, tendonitis, psoriasis, and eczema. Helps to reduce swelling and soreness in your muscles, the aches and pains, and it increases the circulation in the arms and legs to eliminate cramps. To purchase the Miracle Skin products, Helan and Lamb, go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. We are what we eat, what we drink, and what we breathe, and how we think. However, it is most important how we think so that we make the appropriate decisions on what we eat, drink, and breathe, says Dr. Eric Llewellyn, Holistic Advisory Board member of the Royal Society of Health in the UK. Only Grown by Nature offers true, organic, whole food supplements that have been proven by multiple peer-reviewed studies to be superior in not only absorption, but retention, and most importantly, utilization within our bodies. The marketing is supported by a foundation of truth in supplementation. Grown by Nature offers and delivers to you and your body whole food nutrients that are lacking in today's diets. To order, call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Be used, and so what they had to do is they had to fake a crash, and they used Shanks Field in that hole, saying that an airplane crashed there and was going so fast that it completely disappeared in the ground, which is absolutely totally impossible. But not only that, there's a unit in all airplanes, all new airplanes, called the ACARS, and the ACARS unit sends different information, position, altitude, speed of the engines, to the company while the airplane is flying. And this unit in Flight 93 that supposedly crashed at Shanksville was still transmitting data 4 hours after that crash. Hmm. So we don't know where that airplane was flown to, but it certainly didn't crash at Shanksville.
Okay, let me take each one of these situations, because I would defer to anybody that has the kind of experience, training, and education that you do in flying, and I do want to take each one of them. When I, the Pentagon, first of all, I wanted to say I was paramilitary, so I got some phone calls shortly after that time of people telling me there was no plane here. There was just no plane at the Pentagon. Then I called the Pentagon, the SecDef's office that I usually deal with on PR, and I asked them what happened to the plane. Why was there no plane there? And they said, well, it vaporized. And I said, they actually did. I mean, I don't know if they had a straight face or not, but they said it vaporized. And I asked, well, how does that happen? There's never been in the history of a plane before that it vaporized. And they said, well, you'd have to talk to a physicist about that. I mean, those are the kind of responses that the Pentagon was giving out. And, you know, let's talk about the Pentagon then. You say there was no plane there. There was a flyover. And then because I have to ask the question, number one, my BS detector started going off when they sent out, or Donald Rumsfeld immediately went out on the field. You know, you've just had allegedly a terrorist event here, and you've got the Secretary of the Defense of the largest country in the world going out there saying, let me help.
Yeah, not, that doesn't make any sense why he did that, but thought he did that because he knew there was not going to be any more problems, and he wanted to make himself visible out there.
That's right. Now, we have this grainy film that could either be, I guess, Sasquatch or a plane. We don't know. But we had that grainy film that they provided us. And I called them also on the issue of the cameras. And I said, you know, I was at the Sedalia Walmart the other day and in Missouri here, and they had 38 cameras on their building. Do you have more or less cameras at the Pentagon? And they wouldn't answer the question of how many cameras, of course. That's national security. But still the idea that, people were not buying into this one grainy picture coming out of, you know, one grainy or one bad camera. I mean, how do they think, or I guess they think they can get away with this just by telling us whatever they tell us and we're going to buy into it?
Absolutely. That's what they think. They think that we can buy into it. And but, you know, most people can't. And they've made some technical errors. One was the flight data recorder records several hundred parameters, like the position of the ailerons, the position of the stick, the speed of the motors, all that kind is recorded. And so when they got the alleged flight data recorder from Flight 77 that allegedly went into the Pentagon, they were looking at the recording of the altitude. Now, of course, they were faking that flight data recorder and its information. And what they did was, for the last altitude that recorded, they put 100 feet. And what they didn't understand is that when the flight data recorder measures altitude, the flight data recorder doesn't know what the barometric pressure is for that specific location. And what they do is, if there's an accident, after the accident, they take the altitude that's recorded at normal barometric pressure, which is 2.992 inches of mercury, and they convert that to whatever the barometric pressure was at that station where it crashed. For instance, this station would be Reagan National Airport, and that station barometric pressure was 30.22 inches of mercury. But the people that faked all this didn't know that. So that when you take the 30.22 inches of mercury and convert it to what the 100 feet that the flight data recorder recorded.
Okay, we've got to go to this break. We're going to get cut off. We've got a 4-minute break. We'll be right back with John Lear. Don't leave. John Lear is the pilot extraordinaire, and he is joining us today to give his perception of what he believes happened based on a lot more fact and evidence than our government is doing, that is for sure. You were mentioning, and I do want to go back to where we were at the break, about the barometric pressure issue. Why is that important, John?
It's important because the people who faked the information on the flight data recorder put 100 feet was the last recorded altitude, and they put that because they figured that the last 100 feet would not have been recorded, because when it crashed, it wouldn't be sending any more information. But if you take that 100 feet and correct it for the actual barometric pressure there at Reagan Airport, which was 30.22 inches of mercury, it would meant that the airplane was actually at 400 feet and not 100 feet. So it was actually a flyover there. And then the airplane went on and landed someplace else, but it did not crash into the Pentagon.
Now, have you gone to your senator, representative, all those people we're supposed to go to, law enforcement, I don't care who, FBI, have you gone to them with this information?
No. What I did was I wrote the affidavit in support of Morgan Reynolds' quid-am complaint to the District Court of New York, and it was dismissed. So there's not much more I can do then, except every once in a while talk on radio programs about what I saw happen. But as far as letting anybody know, there's too many people in control of this scam that it's impossible to get the truth out.
And, you know, a lot of people may not know who Morgan Reynolds is, and he did a lot of work. In fact, I appeared with him on a couple of things that he did. You might want to tell the listeners who Morgan Reynolds is and why he has a lot of credibility.
Morgan Reynolds was the economic advisor to the administration, and when 9/11 came along, he realized what a scam it is, that no airplane could have done that, and he filed a quitam complaint, which is actually something that you file if the local district attorney doesn't want to file. An actual regular citizen can file this information, and he put all the stuff that made the disappearance of the World Trade Centers absolutely untrue. There were no airplanes. I filed it with the district court, and I filed a 15-page affidavit in support of that, telling exactly why and using the aerodynamic principles of the Naval College, and telling them exactly why an airplane couldn't have done that. But they were both dismissed by the district court judge, and haven't done any more beyond that. They also dismissed Judy Wood's complaint, and she's the one that wrote Where Did the Towers Go, that explained how the buildings were destroyed by direct energy weapons. She doesn't say where those direct energy weapons were fired from, but I know that they were fired from space, and there's 24 orbiting satellites which are weaponized, and they have been being built for the last 30 years. They're orbiting now, and they use a weapon called molecular dissociation, where it takes the molecular makeup of steel and concrete or anything else, and it just separates it so that there's nothing left more than dust, which is about 80 microns in diameter. And that was all the dust that you saw in Manhattan after the disintegration of those buildings. You remember all the dust that came down the street there?
Yes.
That was a steel and concrete, but just reduced by the molecular dissociation of those spaceborne weapons.
All right. One other thing that is often talked about is that this was a situation in which they were remote controlling these aircraft. And I'd like for you to deal with that issue, because I know we've had a guest on, Field McConnell, Captain Field McConnell, talking about the uninterruptible autopilot. Do you believe that played a role in this, or do you believe there were no planes anywhere ever that took place in this event, that were involved in this event?
There were no planes anywhere ever in this event. The automatic control of airplanes can be done, and that was used in the alleged MH-17 scam, in which they took the MH-370 that disappeared a couple of months ago. That was had been stored in Tel Aviv, and they flew that airplane up to route coming out of Amsterdam, and had it controlled by two jet aircraft that were flying along beside it. When it got into the Ukraine, it turned left about 20 degrees, and when it got into the area, which is Zionist-controlled area in Ukraine, the two airplanes, the two jets shot the airplane down.
Let's come back and continue with the MH17, because as it correlates with what we're talking about here today, Ruth. We were talking about the 9/11 issue, but then with MH17 correlated with that, because, you know, it seems like we're getting plane scams all the time. There's 13 planes missing in Libya also. So what do we know, and why is this focus on aircraft now?
You know, I don't know, but they had to, when 370 disappeared, somehow it was taken into the Middle East. I suspect that it was taken to Tel Aviv. Everybody on board was killed, and they sat there, all those dead bodies, for months until MH17, that supposed flight, took off and headed for Malaysia.
Okay, how do we know? I have to stop you and ask you, how do we know they went to Israel? How do we know those people were killed?
Well, the dead bodies, when MH when the alleged MH17 crashed in Ukraine, there was cadavers there. There were at least 3 weeks old. Now, there were no bodies that had just been killed in that alleged crash. MH17 did not exist. There was no flight. All the people that you see crying and all their supposed dead relatives, those are all crisis actors. They're paid to do that. They're paid to say that their loved ones disappeared in that. But in fact, there was no MH17. That was MH370 that they crashed in the Ukraine. And that had all the cadavers on board. Whoever pulled this off, and we'll just say, I don't know for a fact, but I suspect it was the Israelis. Whoever pulled this off for MH370 disappearing, they had to get rid of, number one, the airplane and the bodies. And the easiest way to do it was make it crash, have it disintegrate in front of everybody as the alleged 317. And so they were able to get rid of the airplane, get rid of the bodies, and it was all done with the alleged 317 or MH17, which never existed.
Okay, but what you're saying here, I just want to make sure, is pretty much what you have speculated from all the information you've heard. I mean, we're not talking about any evidence that anyone saw or documented that plane being in Tel Aviv, is there?
There's plenty of evidence that it was there. There's pictures that were there. They can be seen on Jim Stone, freelance.com. Those pictures, as far as the airplane crashing in the Ukraine, there's pictures of the crash which absolutely prove that was MH370 and not 17. MH370 was a newly constructed airplane. It had the new paint job that the Malaysia Airlines used. The supposed number of MH17 had the old paint job. So we should have seen that paint job in the crash, but all we saw was the new one. So it had to be 370 crashing in the Ukraine.
That is interesting. That is interesting. All right, let's go back to 9/11 for a second here, because we know that, you know, airplanes are playing a big role in terrorism now, and that's a focus of our government. It's as if they found a, you know, one-trick pony now, and they're going to use that all the time. But let's go back to 9/11. The Pentagon, first of all, you said no plane crashed there. They brought out some debris with blue tarps on them, made it look like they were carrying something out. What do you know about talking to anybody other than to April? That was there at the time, April Gallup at the time. But what do you know from any pilots or any of Air Force people, personnel that you talked to about what happened at the Pentagon?
One of the famous newscasters was there right when it happened, and he's the one that said, there is no evidence of an airplane. I have seen no evidence of an airplane. There's no wreckage, no nothing. And later he was forced to retract that statement. But he, in fact, that is recorded, and that is fact that he did say that.
Yes, and we do have that on 9/11 in plain sight also, because that was pretty profound when he said that. All right, let's go to, again, to Shanksville, because to me, getting people to believe that a plane crashed where there's no evidence of a plane is a pretty good gig. If you can do that, man, you have really done something in this country, and they did it. They got people to believe that a plane either went under the ground or was in so many tiny parts they couldn't find it or something, but... talk to me about Shanksville.
Shanksville came about because the place where Flight 93 was supposed to crash into was Building Number 7. But whatever they had using to fake the holograms became inoperative, so that they had to make something else, another place for it to crash, that the people could see, yes, there it is. And they couldn't use Building Number 7 because there was no hologram machine. So what they did is they got this place in southern Pennsylvania, Shanksville. They went down there. They put some scattered parts there, and they had some people standing around in hazmat suits, and they let the press in at 5 o'clock. This is 6 hours after there was supposed to be a crash, building number 7, they were stuck with that because not only was it going to be also destroyed by this direct energy weapon, but they also had explosives inside the building because they wanted certain information there for sure destroyed. So what they had to do is let that be destroyed anyway. And the argument between all of them was, people are not going to believe that thing just disintegrated all by itself with two little teeny fires at the top. And somebody else said, well, you don't really know how stupid the public is. Let's just do it and see what we can get them to believe. So they destroyed it with direct energy weapons and in addition with demolition explosives inside building number 7 and brought it straight down in 9 seconds. And they were right. The public believed it.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. Mm-hmm.
John, I had a question if we can go back to your first statement. Joyce asked you when you came on what your first thoughts were when you saw the events of the day unfolding. And you mentioned that you immediately went to training. You asked yourself where these guys got their training. I'm wondering if you could kind of extrapolate on that by letting our listeners know from a pilot standpoint, what would have had to have been going on in the cockpit physically, mentally, in one of these guys' minds, and you know, how they would have had to interact with their airplane to make something like that happen if they were trying to do it. What would they have actually had to do physically in the plane?
Well, you take hijackers. We were told that they had box cutters. He would have had to disable the pilots. Now, this would be done by slitting their throats, getting the cartoid artery to incapacitate them. But in doing that, you're going to have blood spurting all over the place. It's going to be spurting on the airplane controls, on the throttles, on the cockpit, on the instruments, all over the place. And then you're going to have to get that pilot out of the seat, which means you're going to have to undo a complex harness. And we're assuming we don't know how these hijackers would have learned how to do that. But then after they undo the harness, they're going to have to pull the seat back because the seat is pulled forward so that the pilots can reach the rudders. And that's after he gets in the airplane and gets all set up to fly. But in order to get his body out, they're going to have to bring that seat back. Now, it can only be done electrically or manually. And each one requires specific use of the buttons, how to do that, and we don't know how the pilot would. But let's say he did. He got the body back, and he pulled the body out of the seat, and he got in there. Now he's in that seat. There's blood all over the place, and he's looking at the most advanced electronic flight control system in the world called EFIS, E-F-I-S. Now we're wondering, since this guy only had flown a 150, how he could possibly look at that display and figure out how to turn 180 degrees, go down to New York, Colts Neck, go 15 miles south, make a 180-degree turn, come back, descend from 30,000 feet to exactly 800 feet, and hit that building, which is 208 feet wide, dead center, with no previous experience at all in the Boeing 767.
With respect to the Pentagon and the maneuvers that were allegedly, let me go back to the Twin Towers, because do you remember that statement that was given out almost at the time? Of course, they figured out immediately, within about 30 to 45 minutes, MSNBC had it all figured out that it was Osama bin Laden, and they're brilliant in that. But the other thing that we heard was that statement by somebody who said, I saw the face of the terrorist as he flew the plane into the building and the Twin Towers. Do you remember that ridiculous, bizarre statement?
Yeah, there was a video that was put out that was allegedly taken in some apartment where they were filming all this, and it was just such a scam, such a fake video. It's really interesting. And there's a video on the internet now that's called How to Fake a 9/11 Video, and it has all the things that they did wrong on it, and it's just hilarious.
Wow. Yeah, because I want to know, A, if you saw the face of the pilot coming into the 9/11 building, how did you live to tell that story, is my number one question.
Good question.
That's a good one. Yeah,
but I guess, you know, it only takes a flight nurse from the Air Force to be able to figure that one out. You know, that's the reason that I was able to say that. But, I mean, I can't believe that any – and they told that story over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, the same thing with, gee, we were fortunate enough to find his passport, that kind of thing. But the whole idea of the – there were no planes. I mean, I think there are a lot of people that are a little bit shocked by that, that maybe you're not familiar with your belief that there was a hologram. How would this have worked? As you've worked this out in your mind, how did this whole scenario work on 9/11 with the Twin Towers? All right, John Lear, thank you so much for joining us today. Very interesting. Opening up a whole lot of new areas, and we'd love to have him back on again. Thank you for your good work. Stay out there. Keep doing what you're doing, and stay with the MH17-370 issue also. Thank you, sir.
Call me anytime. Thank you.
Oh, you're such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today. All of you out there in the listening audience, tomorrow again, the music conspiracy, 440 Hertz.
You are now listening to a partial recording from the Joyce Riley Archive Vault. To hear this show in its entirety, please visit thepowerhour.com.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Discover the benefits of vitamin B17 and its potential role in supporting overall health and well-being with our Power Hour partner, Richardson Nutritional Center. Their natural bitter apricot seeds and vitamin B17 capsules have high levels of B17, also known as amygdalin, which is a naturally occurring compound found in plant-based sources. At Richardson Nutritional Center store, they prioritize your health and satisfaction. Their Laetril vitamin B17 capsules are carefully manufactured under strict quality standards to ensure purity and potency. Buy Laetril B17 capsules or bitter apricot seeds today and embark on a natural journey towards wellness. To order, visit thepowerhour.com, click on the Partners tab, or call us at 877-817-9829. Miracle Skin Products. Helan is an external herbal remedy for wounds that will not heal. For example, can be used on bed sores, blisters, diaper rash, dry, cracked skin, and different various skin irritations. Helan is a perfect blend of natural organic herbals, botanical oils, and emollients that complement and help to restore the body's healing chemistry. Perfect for burns and after the removal of stitches. Suggested uses for the lamb cream are for temporary relief of arthritis, tendonitis, psoriasis, and eczema. Helps to reduce swelling and soreness in your muscles, the aches and pains, and it increases the circulation in the arms and legs to eliminate cramps. To purchase the Miracle Skin products, Elon and Lamb, go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
We are what we eat, what we drink, and what we breathe, and how we think. However, it is most important how we think so that we make the appropriate decisions on what we eat, drink, and breathe, says Dr. Eric Llewellyn, Holistic Advisory Board member of the Royal Society of Health in the UK. Only Grown by Nature offers true, organic, whole food supplements that have been proven by multiple peer-reviewed studies to be superior in not only absorption, but retention, and most importantly, utilization within our bodies. The marketing is supported by a foundation of truth in supplementation. Grown by Nature offers and delivers to you and your body whole food nutrients that are lacking in today's diets. To order, call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.